But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season two. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hard to believe it, but it's Thursday. One day away from the biggest Red Friday of the year. 3 days away. 25 minutes. 17 seconds.
17 seconds away.
To the game of the year.
That's right.
Sunday at 5:30 at Arrowhead Stadium. Cannot wait.
Can't get here soon enough. I'm ready now.
No, sir.
I got my kind of game face on, if you will. It's Thursday. The week is officially started for the NFL. It's time to go, and the storylines are starting to come out. Not many for the Chiefs. Not really many for Buffalo, for that matter. I think everybody's just ready to play this game. You got the two best teams in the AFC by far, the two best quarterbacks in the NFL by far, and it is go time, baby. Let's do it.
Do we start the show off quickly with where do we rank Sean McDermott with the top coach in the AFC?
I think you got to put him up there now. You know, I look,
McDermott or Tomlin?
Tomlin.
McDermott or Harbaugh? John.
Harbaugh. Either one.
Then yeah, is it McDermott?
Yeah. I'm going Harbaugh still on that one.
I think, yeah.
So he's the fourth best coach in the AFC.
Andy, Tomlin, Harbaugh, John. Yeah, probably Sean McDermott. My impression has changed a little bit of Sean McDermott. Like if a year plus ago, like before the Kadarius Toney game, I said their window was closed. It was over. And it was over last year. If Kadarius Toney lines up on sides, the Bills aren't in the playoffs and they don't win that game. And then, you know, I thought maybe Sean McDermott probably had to go at that point in time, right? But Kadarius Toney lined up offsides. They ended up winning that game, get into the playoffs, did their thing. And I thought Sean McDermott did a great job this year of kind of channeling his inner Andy Reid. And that's like getting rid of some big name players. You know, their Stephon Diggs went away, which was our Tyreek Hill. And they became a better overall organization because of getting rid of Stephon Diggs. And I think, you know, Josh Allen has played better and their defense has played better. And so I give Sean McDermott a lot of credit because it was teeter-totter time there for Sean McDermott. And he took off, man. So I give him a little bit of credit, a lot more credit than I would have given him, you know, 500 days ago or so.
Do you trust him to make the right calls in the right situations?
I that's not for me to answer. I'm not a Bills fan. Like, I don't know what they're feeling, what their trust is with Sean McDermott. But I feel like Sean McDermott and Andy Reid are kind of in that same category. Like you got Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. You call the plays, those guys are going to go out there and execute that
Fair
play.
Point.
You know, I think that's what you have to kind of look back on. Those guys will go out and execute whatever, you know, the coach wants you to. Now, the fourth down stuff and gambling and the going for twos and all that kind of stuff that head coaches are you know, kind of tied to a little bit. I mean, you got to go with the flow of the game at that point in time.
I think McDermott's kind of getting a little bit more respect because you're not really hearing anybody from Buffalo chirp like you would hear like from Houston, or, you know, we heard eventually after the end of the game, I know hindsight's 20/20, that they were going into this game thinking to themselves, like, we've got to beat the refs and this.
Right.
This was Deion Dawkins, what he had to say of, like, basically saying be killed or get killed.
For rounds in the playoffs.
That's not right.
We know that to say it in this way, it's kill or be killed. And when it's kill or be killed, an elimination chamber type of match, type of game, we have to be at our best. No mistakes, Don't play with being scared, but play to kill. Play to win. Every rep, every snap counts. You don't have any second chances now. And inside that helmet, when we're on that line and we're up front and we see Chris Jones and we see these guys, we understand that we cannot give these guys any bit of adrenaline that they can use against us, because they're one of those teams that have been there. They've done it. They've done it multiple times, and we have to keep, you know, the adrenaline and the energy with the Buffalo Bills.
That's a scary attitude to hear about, because mm-hmm. that's a guy that's either been burned before. And I was telling Mac, you know, before the show, we were kind of, you know, sidebarring conversations about topics today. And I was like, this is a Buffalo team that, like, they've been burned enough. And like, when you get burned enough, you get annoyed with it. Like, it's I'm done with it. Mm-hmm. And that's a mindset where they know going in this game, like, can't give them an inch, they take a mile. It's kill or be killed. Like, that sort of attitude, it starts at the top. Like, your coach has let you know what the situation is. He's ready to go into this game probably more prepared, more experienced than he's ever been in a situation. And I think that's why the magnitude of this game is, and where the focus should be, instead of, well, the Chiefs get these calls, Mahomes does this, the refs are on their side, I hate Taylor Swift, they're annoying, they win, fatigue of being successful. The real story of this game is how focused both these teams are, and outside noise doesn't matter, because with this quote of kill or be killed, that's the sort of mentality you want to see, and those are the things you want to hear. Like, if we give Chris Jones a slight inch, we're screwed. Mm-hmm. We give Patrick Mahomes that mentality that he's in that Mahomes God mode, we are cooked. We've got to go in there and play our game, not worry about any sort of outside noise, not worry about any sort of call that could go either way, but just know that if we are allowed to be stabbed, it's over.
Well, and that's it. You got to take care of your own business, man. Like, you can't worry about the outside noise. The teams that do worry about that outside noise and the ancillary stuff are the teams that ultimately lose the football game. Look at the Houston Texans from last week, right? We've talked ad nauseum about how they were complaining about the refs on Tuesday of last week before the game. And so this is an organization now in Buffalo that does have that experience. And having an experienced team coming in for this AFC Championship game is a hell of a lot different than having an unexperienced team coming in, because these guys have been there before, right? Mm-hmm. I know they didn't make the title game last year, but they've had years now of being in the postseason. They understand what it takes to go out there and win in the postseason. They just have to go out there and do it. And if they follow Deion Dawkins' lead and don't play out of themselves and don't let, you know, Chris Jones start to become a menace or Patrick Mahomes take over, then they've got an opportunity. There's no question to win that football game, but they still have to be better than the Kansas City Chiefs. And in this stage, at this point in our lives and where we are with this team, nobody really has proven to be better than the Kansas City Chiefs. And I don't even want to say that, like, Cincinnati was better in that title game. The Chiefs just melted down, and something happened at halftime, and they traded Tyreek Hill minutes after that game, right? So something went on in that locker room at halftime where they melted down, and Cincinnati took advantage of that. I think the Chiefs learned a lot from that game against Cincinnati. They have not lost in the postseason since that game against Cincinnati, right? A couple of Super Bowls later, and here we sit going for a third consecutive one. So they know how to handle the big moments. They know how to handle the distraction. And I think that loss to Cincinnati may catapult them really in this game to understand that we can't melt down at halftime. We can't think an 18-point lead at halftime is a done deal or anything like that. And we're going to keep going and playing to the end of these championship games. So I think the Chiefs have that type of experience, but Buffalo also does have that experience of being there, and they understand, man, you give Chris Jones 2 inches, he's going to drive Josh Allen right into the ground. You give Patrick Mahomes 2 inches, he's going to go up over the top to Xavier Worthy and put a touchdown on the board.
I think the other thing, you could look at the positive side, hearing that as like a Chiefs fan or a Chiefs player, is that they know somehow you're still in their heads.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes, like when you were a kid or if you were ever an athlete, like they would tell you that if you go out there and try to play perfect, you're going to fail.
Absolutely.
Right? Like,
absolutely.
You can't think about it, right? What do they always tell, like, little league pitchers? Don't think, play catch, just throw ball, mm-hmm. and, you know, do that. And don't worry about trying to hit the strike zone, young man. Just throw, play catch.
Yeah, easier right? said than done, though.
Right, yeah, right.
It's easier.
But when those kids have that mindset and they're able to breathe and relax, they're less tense, they're less likely to make those mistakes. This is the biggest game of Buffalo's existence in their era with Josh Allen and McDermott. Arguably, you could say one of the biggest games for Kansas City in the era that is Mahomes and Kelsey and Reed. But when you hear that as a Chiefs player, you know that you have them thinking, we can't make any mistakes. And I think that when you hear that, it gives you a slight advantage to know that they're playing a little tense. You can mix things up. Now, do I think this is going to be an instant classic? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think we'll be talking about this game for at least a week, whether it's a win or a loss. And I think the Chiefs have the slight advantage because it is at home, because they have done this, and they know what they need to do. Whereas Buffalo doesn't know what they need to do quite yet in the playoffs because they haven't done it. If this was a 2-2 matchup, like each team's won twice, lost twice, I wouldn't think that there was a slight advantage to the Chiefs. I'd be like, this is a game where you sit back and say, the best team gonna win. But this is still a game where I think the Chiefs have a slight advantage. Hearing some of that audio where it's like, we know we got to be perfect. We know that those guys are there. We know that they've done this before. And it's like Buffalo still, to this point, to be fair, does not know what it takes to win this game.
No, they don't.
Kansas City does, times three,
yep.
Slight advantage Chiefs.
No doubt.
So bring this whole week together little by little. That's where I'm kind of leaning on a Thursday morning is that, they've been burned. They've been hurt. They've been destroyed. And they've had their season ended multiple times. Kansas City has not had that against Buffalo. Kansas City continues to play their game like the kid. Go play catch. Go play your game, Chiefs. They're going to try to be perfect. Take advantage of that because I told Mac earlier, this game is coming down to somebody making a mistake, whether it's 17 or 15, and a crucial point in this game.
Well, and that's the thing, though. Like, the Chiefs can't go out there and think that they can make a mistake in this game and win. Like, the first turnover that we see on Sunday, if there is a turnover, whoever turns that football over is going to lose that football game. That's just the way that it is right now for me. There's going to be a mistake that has to be made. The Chiefs can't go out there and play like this laissez-faire type of attitude. They do have to, concentrate and make sure that they don't make mistakes, because if they give Josh Allen an inch, Josh Allen's going to take a mile too. I mean, there was a play, what was it, last year in that regular season game along the sidelines that I remember Josh Allen having just an unbelievable throw when it looked like the play was dead and everything like that. Like, Josh Allen's a playmaker too, coming from me, that's saying a lot. So you can't let up on Josh Allen either. You can't go out there and say, all right, we're going to be okay because, we're better on paper or we've done this before. You make a mistake against Josh Allen, he will beat you just as much as Patrick Mahomes will beat you as well. So I just think it's such an evenly matched game. It's going to be such a great game. But I do. I think the first team that makes the mistake is the team that's going to be playing from behind, and the team that's playing from behind probably isn't going to be able to catch up.
The Buffalo Bills are America's team. I don't want to take away from no one else, but I think that they call the Cowboys America's team. But Cowboys were were America's team because they were very good in that time of life. Now the chapter has changed. And now we have Josh Allen, where we're America's team.
You're not really good, though, in this time of life, because at that point when they were calling Dallas America's team, they were actually winning Super Bowls or getting to the Super Bowl and winning Super Bowls. And they were America's team, right?
Against Buffalo.
Again, they did that against Buffalo, against other teams as well. Like back in the 70s, when that America's team moniker began for the Dallas Cowboys, they were winning Super Bowls. You can't be America's team when you're constantly, the runner up. You're constantly in second place. You're constantly behind Patrick Mahomes, and when you don't draw the TV ratings that the Kansas City Chiefs draw as well. There's no debate here. I appreciate Deion Dawkins thinking they're America's team. America may be rooting for the Buffalo Bills in this game, but people are watching and paying attention to the Kansas City Chiefs, who are now America's team.
Buffalo definitely America's team this weekend when they play this game in
Kansas City, Missouri.
That's right.
So
thank you, George.
Yeah. That game, 5:30 at Arrowhead, and its location is in
Kansas City, Missouri.
I think Buffalo is America's team this weekend. That's for sure.
No doubt.
And
that's okay to admit
about it.
Everybody in America outside of Kansas City is rooting for the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah. Just don't go crying when you don't get your wish. Coming up on the other side, there was an injury report update and number 15 was on it, but we're not worried. It's actually a beautiful sight to see when you think about it in the history of what it is. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Moore. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan. You're home. Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
All right, mount up on a Thursday. Mac, where are you at, man? Because I always worry about you. This is your first go-round playoff atmosphere in Kansas City. Your only wardrobe is Chiefs clothes. You tattooing it this year? They get a three-peat?
Oh, yeah.
For sure?
Oh, absolutely.
What are you
going to
get?
Breaking news.
Oh, wow. Mac's going to get a tattoo.
My first tattoo is always going to be a Chief. It's just got to be the right
one. So you haven't got one yet?
No tattoos.
You'll get one if they three-peat.
I was going to get a wasp tattoo. It just never happened.
Mm. Like,
so now
the
I'm
actual
way behind.
Insect? Yeah,
like the...
The play?
The play. It was super
really?
Cool. Yeah, it was cool written out. The red line of Tyreek's route. Super nerdy, but... Never happened, but yeah.
Oh, the Chiefs. You were gonna get a play tattooed on
the
you.
Wasp, baby.
Yeah, I looked at you for a second to see
it
if,
was
you, if you.
Were... I thought he was talking about the insect at first. I was like, it's kind of cool. The wasp. It's cool, little. Yeah.
But yeah, tattoo's happening. No, I'm nervous, man.
Where does it go?
I want a fun
back
fun
shoulder,
right thigh. I want my right thigh to have a bunch of small, silly tattoos.
Nice.
Your right thigh
specifically.
Why your right thigh?
I don't know, man.
I like that area.
Right thigh, fun thigh.
Does Momo approve of this?
It doesn't really matter, but
you know, if you want to get a tattoo,
so no,
so no.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to get a tattoo of Roy Orbison on your ass, what Mama doesn't know doesn't hurt her.
Go for it.
Oh yeah, let's win, and it'll happen.
Max can get blacked out in New Orleans and get a tattoo on his face, yeah. like Ed, whatever his name is, and The Hangover.
Ed Helms. Yeah.
Ed Helms. Yeah.
We'll take text suggestions for my three-peat tattoo.
Yeah. Don't be one of these people who gets a tattoo beforehand. Another guy in Detroit got the Lions next year Super Bowl champion. Hate to break the news to you, man. Like, there's a lot of people right now that are like, I think the Lions window may have shut.
That's not happening.
We're going to see how good Dan Campbell really is.
Yep.
Is he an Andy Reid type of coach that can replace his assistants, or is he going to be a guy who is so reliant upon his assistants that it exposes him of not being a good head football coach? So it's going to be interesting to see in Detroit, man. That's going to be a very, very, very interesting case study going into next year of how people perceive the Lions, who they hire, and how good Dan Campbell really is as a coach. Because not only did you lose your two coordinators, I think your other top defensive assistant that was just hired as a defensive coordinator somewhere else as well.
New England, the D-line coach
is now the defensive coordinator in New England. So that's three assistants already lost off your staff. So we'll see how good Dan Campbell really, really is. And if this Detroit thing was just a mirage for a couple of years, or if it's a thing that's going to keep moving down the tracks and continue to go. Because eventually in Detroit, just like in L.A. right now with the Rams, you're going to have to replace those quarterbacks. Like, Goff's not getting any younger at this point in time. So you're going to have to start looking in Detroit as well to try to find your next quarterback.
Yeah, and you sent us that stat. Like, legitimately, the Lions have never gone through this, having assistants become head coaches.
That's right. The last time a Lions assistant,
yeah,
the last time
president?
JFK.
Yeah.
And you know who that assistant was? The last offensive or defensive coordinator hired by another team from the Lions to be a head coach was Don Shula.
Damn.
When the Baltimore Colts hired him when JFK was president. Like, that's the last time a coordinator from Detroit was hired as a head coach in the NFL. I've never seen anything so wild like that before, right? That's unbelievable. Like, you didn't even stumble into somebody, you know, for a while, right?
Talking about JFK?
I'm talking about the Lions.
1960.
What was that? 62, 63 or something like that? Like, we're talking a general. Like, my dad was in high school when JFK was assassinated. That's the last time the Lions had an assistant coach as a coordinator promoted to a head coach or hired on by another team as a head coach. Two freaking generations ago.
Unreal.
So it tells you, like, hasn't been a lot of success up there in Detroit when it comes to the coordinators or anything like that. So it's going to be interesting. Like, to have doubts about Detroit is the right way to feel about Detroit right now, because it's the unknown. We don't know. Dan Campbell has to go out there and prove it yet again.
Mac, Bob, you can use this in underdog. Mac, you can use this on any other device you like. Taking the over on rushing yards for Patrick Mahomes. Showed up on the injury report. Ankle injury.
Yeah, ankle injury for Mahomes, yes.
Full practice, nothing to really worry about.
No, he's good. Obviously, I talked to somebody yesterday. We're fine.
Which means he's going to run for 45 yards. The over of whatever it is, probably 26.5 right now.
I think that's what I saw in underdog was 26 like 26.
Yeah. Take the over. Ankle injury pops up. You know what that man does when he has an ankle injury?
Yep.
Just goes absolutely just nuts on the ground with his feet.
Mm-hmm.
I think obviously it shows up and everybody goes, oh no, is he all right? Totally fine. I think it's just one of those precautionary things. Like, how's the ankle? That's a little aggravating. All right.
Put him down on the list. Because if you don't put him on the list and people complain, like, oh, he had a bum ankle and nobody put him on the injury list.
Right.
You know?
And then the other names, I mean, there was really, I mean, obviously, Mecole Hardman, he wasn't going to come back. I mean, he's been in sweatpants for like the last 3 weeks. We kind of knew that was going to be the case.
Mm-hmm.
They had their team. So he's out for the rest of the year. They announced that yesterday.
You asked me in the break, is this like the left tackle conversation? Like,
right,
people are wasting time on Mecole Hardman and talking about him. Like,
I mean, you guys didn't think he was going to play, did you?
Like, I didn't think Mecole Hardman, I don't think we'd ever see him again.
He's going to be ready for the Super Bowl type of story.
Right.
But I wasn't like, you know, on the top of my mind, like, I wonder what Mecole Hardman's going
to
be.
I'd love him to be there because I like Mecole and I want him to be part of this. Yeah. But I mean, I think we're going to be okay.
Yeah, you got Nico. I mean, that's essentially what Mecole Hardman would be.
Yeah,
friend of the show.
Exactly. So
Remigio, I mean, I think he's fine, like in his
he's
role.
Been awesome.
But the thing that was kind of eye opening, and maybe it was Veterans Day rest, but you know, the injury report for the Buffalo Bills.
As long as the day is, you know,
a little bit of like bicep hamstring for Milano. Like I didn't know that was an issue.
Oh, Milano's hurt again.
Well, he has a he was on the injury report as a bicep hamstring again. I don't know, like again,
a bicep hamstring.
Yep. Yep.
So he has a bicep injury?
Slash.
Yeah. Okay, I'm like, is that some new like organ that I didn't know about?
No.
Newly discovered the bicep.
So he's got a leg and an arm injury. Great. Matt Milano.
According to the sheet, other names as well. I know Max sent the report because it's interesting, though, because we always say, like, it's not really necessarily the best team, the healthiest team, but it is kind of alarming that, like, we were talking about Matt Milano the other day. Like, is he going to be healthy enough? They said that they're going to try to use him in, like, nickel coverage, which is what Dayton Hughes had said. We'll talk to Nate Taylor about this a little bit later on today. But I don't think there's anything to worry about when it comes to health. I obviously assume the Buffalo Bills guys are all going to be good to go. They're all going to play. But
right.
Sign
nothing.
Me up.
No, yeah. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better game, right?
Like, no
nobody's
excuses.
Hurt. No,
weather's fine.
Everything's going to be good, man.
No wind. 30 degrees is going to be the temperature of that game. No
sun's going to be out, you know. It's going to be a nice Chamber of Commerce January day in Kansas City, you know.
No excuses, right?
Right.
This is 1A versus 1B. This is what we wanted, right? We wanted no excuses, nobody out. You know, Josh Allen has like a shoulder injury, but he's going to make it happen. Like, none of that's on the line.
This is like a Brock Purdy type thing a couple of years ago,
right.
You know. Yeah. You don't want that.
No. You're getting the best of the best from both sides, and there's no excuses.
There's zero.
Cleet Blakeman is the ref, so.
Who? Who cares?
Exactly.
I know the national media cares, and they'll find a way to massage this thing or whatever comes with the ref. But you're right. I mean, there's no injuries. Everybody's healthy. You got the two best quarterbacks, the two best head coaches, you know, that are still left. Obviously, two of the best head coaches in the AFC going head to head. Like, you really couldn't ask for anything more. It's gonna be perfect on Sunday afternoon. Mm-hmm. And the sooner we can get there, and the sooner we can get this thing going, I think the better it is for everybody. Because I think it's about Thursday when people start to kind of get back into the flow of the next game, right? You had Monday to kind of recuperate and Tuesday and da-da-da-da-da. And now you get later in the week and you're starting to think about tailgates. You're starting to think about what you're going to do. You're starting to think about, you know, your wardrobe and all that kind of stuff and getting ready for the game. Like, it's here now, and you can feel the anticipation rising, I think, in the city as we move closer and closer to the start of this game.
Buck rising is the situation currently here in Kansas City, for those of you that remember. I do want to bring this up because we were, you know, chit-chatting after the show yesterday. The reason I think the Chiefs are the most important reason why, obviously, is Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Andy Reid. But, like, one of the reasons why I think they're always in this situation this time of year is because the highlight to me of Brett Veach's career was that draft class where he got all these young defensive studs, right? Like, because that is something where we talked about on Tuesday. Like, if you want to hate anybody, don't hate the refs, don't hate Mahomes, don't hate Travis Kelce, don't hate Taylor Swift. Hell, don't even hate Andy Reid. Hate Brett Veach because he's so far advanced at where he knows where these teams need to be that we talk about this. Karloftis, McDuffie, Chenault, Cook, all those guys in that draft class have not lost in the playoffs, have played in every playoff game since being drafted, have two Super Bowl rings. Pacheco's in that class as well. And that is one of the main reasons why this team is consistently here. They're on cheap contracts. Like all these other teams, we were talking about Detroit, right, earlier. Mm-hmm. You talk about Baltimore. They lose. Right. Their left tackle is a free agent. Think that guy's going to get paid?
Mm-hmm.
And there's all these sorts of, but like they're doing this with young, proven talent, played more games than anybody else in the NFL, more than some veterans, and they've only been in the league 2.5 years, almost 3 years. That's why they're here. Like, you have a McDuffie, you have a Chenault, you have a Karloftis. Last week, 3 sacks. McDuffie gets hurt, comes back in, is a dog.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you have that on the field and you match up against Buffalo with those guys, that's where Brett Veach really shined. Like, I love the year that he got Trey Smith, Creed Humphrey, went out and got Tooney after the offensive line was disheveled. The next year, the defense can't stop Joe Burrow, can't get any pressure, can't stop the passing game. You go get that draft class of those young rookies. Now you're here playing for a three-peat, playing Buffalo again, and Buffalo's like, damn, now these guys have more experience, more playoff experience, more AFC Championship experience. That, to me, is the highlight of what Brett Veach has done for this franchise and in this dynasty.
Yeah, when Patrick Mahomes first came onto the scene and did his thing, you know, that first year, we had the conversation of, would you trade Patrick Mahomes for 10 first-round draft picks? And the answer for me was no. Josh is like, sure, we'll find another quarterback. Then year two happened. He's like, all right, scratch that. I'm not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't more teams calling the Chiefs about trying to trade for Brett Veach? Like, if you, like, and I'm being serious about that, right? Like, that's where it really all starts. Mm-hmm. And if somebody picked up the phone and called Clark Hunt and said, we'll give you 10 first-round round draft picks for Brett Veach. Are you making that trade?
No.
I'm not making that trade.
Untouchable.
Untouchable, yeah. Right? I mean, if you got Brett Veach, Andy Reid, and Patrick Mahomes, those are the three people in this organization that truly are the untouchables. Everybody else is touchable in this organization, right? Everybody else is a person in this organization that if the price is right, you'd go, okay, I think about it. But Andy Reid, Brett Veach, and Patrick Mahomes are untouchables. You hear about it all the time in baseball.
I would say McDuffie might be untouchable.
Maybe.
Generational corner, yeah, lockdown.
Maybe,
like.
Yeah, maybe is trending that way. But even still, I mean, there was a time where they were listening to Travis Kelce offers back in the day. So
they
will listen to offers for anybody. You do not listen to an offer for Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, or Brett Veach at this point in time. You just don't, right? They traded Tyreek Hill, for God's sakes. Everybody's touchable except those three guys on that roster. And you're watching these other teams start to assemble coaching staffs and build rosters and all this stuff that, you know, kind of get a jump start on it because they stink and they're no good. They've got to hire the right general manager because without the right talent there, like, these coaches can only do so much with average players or below average players. You've got to have that general manager in place that knows how to go out there and get talent. I mean, take the Chicago Bears, for example. Their last couple of general managers couldn't assemble an offensive line, right? Like, the Giants can't assemble an offensive line. If you can't assemble an offensive line as a general manager, you don't belong as a general manager in the NFL. It's not that hard to assemble an offensive line and figure this thing out. But some of these organizations just can't do that. So I think when they're making a big deal out of which coaches get hired, and obviously that's the face of your organization. But if you're hiring a coach and a general manager and you're not hiring the right general manager, you're not giving that coach a chance in hell to go out there and have the opportunity to win. And that's why it works so well here. Brett Veach knows how to identify talent, and you're getting it in the seventh round as an undrafted free agent and minor trades that turn into major players. Like, the guy is just unbelievable at player personnel.
Tennessee just got the assistant GM from Kansas City, right?
Right, Mike Bergonzi.
They're going to try to go get Bergonzi to turn that system around.
Right. How long till he fires that Callahan guy and sends him back to the auto parts store?
Thing.
I mean, that's right
why they should have fired him. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then was Poles he in this?
He was here too. Yeah.
Was he part of like the Veach class?
Yeah,
like,
I thought so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's another one.
Yep.
There was another guy that left too that was like the accountant assistant.
Oh, yeah, went to Carolina.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like, there's three guys under Veach.
And then don't forget the guy in Indy left years and years ago, right?
Yeah, but
he may be coming back soon, but, you know.
And he was before Veach was GM, right? Or it was like in that window.
Yeah, right around that same time.
Chris Ballard?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he was a little bit
with Dorsey, right?
Yeah, I think he was Dorsey.
He was definitely here with Andy and them. Yeah.
But, like, since Veach has been here, like, three to four guys have been taken.
That's crazy.
Because, like a head coaching tree, like, I don't know, maybe I'm prisoner of the moment. I don't normally remember, maybe New England did this a lot. Obviously, Pioli came over here. I mean, yeah, right? And some of those guys went. But, like, four guys that are, like, in Veach's tight circle are getting plucked away because everyone realizes that, yes, Andy is great. I am not taking anything away from Andy Reid. Patrick Mahomes is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Nothing against him. But damn it, guys, like, the guy that's doing all the major decisions years in advance, like, when you see them draft a left tackle or you see them draft a defensive lineman, you're like, why would they take that guy in the second round? Because somebody's contract's coming up, someone's showing age, and you've got to get ahead of the tide before the tide gets you. And that's what the Chiefs continue to do. You look, got rid of Sutton, went and got Tyrann Mathieu and Steve Spagnuolo. What happened?
Yeah, they win. Right? But, like, the GM thing is interesting. Like, they lost all of those guys, right?
But the one remains the same.
Right. And like, you could lose all of these guys on your staff as a head coach, but you still coach your coaches if you're good. Like, Andy Reid has coached his coaches. His coaches have had success elsewhere. I don't know how you coach somebody to identify talent. I think what Brett Veach has is very akin to, like, Patrick Mahomes. It's just a God-given ability. Like, either you know how to identify talent or you don't. And Brett Veach has been looking for talent since he was, grabbing cheeseburgers for Andy at McDonald's back in the days of Philadelphia. Like, he's always been a player personnel guy. Mm-hmm. They call him grunts back in the day, watching tape, finding guys, doing this, like, really, truly loving all of that. Mm-hmm. And so you can take his, lieutenants away, not to say that it's not going to hurt or anything, but can they have the ability, or do they have the ability to identify the talent in the play? Like, would any of those guys have known, Isaiah Pacheco in the seventh round or Trey Smith in the sixth round or having the ability to go out and trade that Mike Catapano and getting the guy back from Dallas who's now in San Francisco playing defensive back, Tre'Davious Ward. Yeah. Like those are the moves that Brett Veach has made that just because you were here doesn't mean you were able to see that or make those moves. I think trying to steal somebody from a GM tree is impossible because you're not getting that brain of that guy who truly can identify that talent.
Let's see your talent.
Speaking of trying to go get people off coaching trees, Aaron Glenn has made you either laugh really hysterically loud at your house last night, or maybe this is true, but there's a name that's a familiar name here in Kansas City that he's bringing into his coaching staff in New York.
I told you guys yesterday I was not sold on Aaron Glenn going to the Jets as a new head coach, and then when I see he's bringing Todd Haley in to be on his staff, that's a bad hire, Aaron. Like, you don't understand. Todd Haley has seen his way out of Kansas City. He's seen his way out of Pittsburgh. He's seen his way out of Cleveland. He's seen his way out of a high school coaching job. And now you're going to bring him into the Jets? Like, I know Todd was there back in the day with, you
That's
know.
It's like his OC?
I don't know what it said, but they were
That's
saying.
That's a hell of a, welcome back to the NFL opportunity.
I mean, Todd Haley is not, I mean, I this is going to sound like slant, but if I'm a new coach in this league, I'm not surrounding myself with a guy like Todd Haley, who's kind of been run out of the NFL. Like, he hasn't been in the NFL for quite some time and wasn't that great when he was in the NFL, yeah. Right? So
the last I heard him and his wife got kicked out of a bar in Texas called like the Tequila Cowboy.
Yeah, something like
on,
that.
Like,
I remember when, in Pittsburgh when him and his wife were stealing like appliances and things from a rental. And like
just wild that he'd be hired as an OC, though.
It's wild that he has been out of this league now. God, I would say for 4 years.
Since 2018.
He's been out of the NFL since 2018.
Has not been a coach in the NFL since 2018.
Are you kidding me?
No.
So that's 7 years he's been out of the league. The last time he was in this league, we didn't really know who Patrick Mahomes was.
Mm-hmm. I thought bringing Norv Turner in was hilarious.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
I'll raise you Todd Haley.
Todd Haley.
Tequila Cowboy.
Coming back to the NFL to coach for the... Like, you can't script...
Now
colossal train wreck more.
I hope Littlefinger stays
and,
in New
and
York.
That's the thing with him.
They will throw punches.
Oh, it'll be fantastic. WFAN, our sister station, was reporting yesterday that there is a good chance that Aaron Glenn wants Aaron Rodgers to be the quarterback next year, right? There still is that possibility. Number one, you ask yourself, who is going to be the quarterback for the Jets if it's not him? And I got to believe that Aaron Rodgers has burned enough bridges in the NFL that no other team is going to want Aaron Rodgers. Like, if you're bringing in Aaron Rodgers to your organization, you're asking for it, man. And, you know, the Giants may bring in Aaron Rodgers. You're asking for it if you bring in a guy like Aaron Rodgers. He is an organizational killer, as you've seen with the Jets. So Aaron Glenn's two biggest moves could potentially be Todd Haley and Aaron Rodgers. Ooh. How does that spell success?
I mean, that's just funny to me.
Glenn feels it's important to have veteran, experienced offensive minds in the building. It is unclear exactly what role Todd Haley would have.
But Todd Haley hasn't been in the NFL since 2018. Like, the league has changed a lot in a 7-year period of time where he was coaching in high school and the UFL.
More lost franchise currently, the Jets or the Jaguars? Because they just fired their GM yesterday.
That's right.
After coaches were like, yeah, no.
I'm not even taking an interview here.
Yeah, not a chance. Like, oh, okay. And then it's like, we might have screwed up. The GM's out.
Yeah, the Jags, since Shad Khan took over in 2012 as owner, have the worst winning percentage in the NFL at 30%. They've won 30% of their games. During that time span, the Chiefs have the highest winning percentage in the NFL at like 68%. And that's including the 2-14 season. Take out the 2-14 season, Andy Reid's won 70%. Of his games in Kansas City. The Jags, since they've been owned by that guy with the mustache, have lost 70% of their games
and that's
in the NFL.
Their number one seed year. So it's like the opposite of the Chiefs. You take out that 1 year where they were awesome, they won 14 games. Wow, I bet it's 25%
of their games. So tell me ownership doesn't matter in this situation. Oof. Jets ownership, Jags ownership. Jets ownership hired Aaron Glenn. Seems like a nice hire. Now they're allowing him to bring in Todd Haley and potentially keep Aaron Rodgers. Oh my God. And then Jacksonville, we're going to keep our GM every coaching candidate has told you to get bent, and now you decide to fire Balke. It's like bailing the Titanic out as it's getting ready to sink. A little bit too late for this right now. Like, God love you, Jacksonville, but you can't figure yourselves out.
Over under 5.5 wins for the London Jags.
I'm going to reserve comment on that till I see exactly what
they gotta do. See, I got to see a coach. I got to see a draft.
Yeah. Fair enough. Got to have a GM.
But
as well.
I would say, yeah, and GM. Yeah,
that's kind of important. Before you get to a coach and a draft, you kind of got to have a general manager.
And potentially a quarterback at this point in time, too. I mean, you know.
I like that situation in Jacksonville better than in New York, at least. Low bar, but.
Yeah. I mean, seriously. Todd Haley and Aaron Rodgers, hard knocks, get back to New York.
No doubt. A game of records. That's what this game will be on Sunday. I'll explain what I mean by that on either side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 96.5, Kansas City's FM sports station. 96.5 The Fan.
E-L-G-F-E-S Eagles! Let's go, Birds!
I can't hate, I can't do math, and I can't spell.
Oh, that's embarrassing. That
but I'm not the mayor of a town.
That's rough.
E-L-G-F-E-S Eagles!
Not even close.
Let's go, Birds!
Yeah, they get that let's go, Birds, let's at the end.
Birds. B-Y-R-D-S.
No, you got that wrong, Dusty. It's B-U-R-D-S. Birds.
Oh, boy. That's
this is why politicians just need to stay away from the sports realm of things, you know? Seriously, Mayor.
Do you ever watch the spelling bee?
Oh, yeah. Do you know two kids from my daughter's middle school won the spelling bee, the National Hearst Spelling Bee? They got banners hanging in the...
Like on ESPN and everything?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, the National Spelling Bee. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I walk in there, I look at that, I'm like, oh, my God, that's cool. Two kids won the National Spelling Bee from California Trail Middle School. So shout out California Trail. We got basketball today. Big one brewing at the, whatever they call it, the gym.
Sounds big.
The gym. So, huge rivalry game today between the other middle school.
At the gym.
My daughter's boyfriend plays, so it's a big deal.
Okay,
now.
Here we go.
Saddle up and watch Mason go out there and play today. So.
Big relationship these days.
Oh, yeah. Okay. She went to the game on Tuesday and met his entire family, aunts and uncles and all this kind of stuff.
How long have you been dating?
6 weeks.
Oh. Classic.
There we go.
And our friend Mitchell plays as well, so I get to watch him play a little basketball.
I think he's the one, Dad. I feel it.
Yeah.
2 weeks later. What happened to Mitch? Well,
yeah.
Ryan came into the picture.
That's right. Yeah.
You have no idea. Jean jacket.
Yeah.
To be in love again.
Yeah. in middle school. Like, come on. You know, like, really.
Pat, do they still pass notes?
Well, they just text or snap each other now. Right. Yeah, there's no note passing anymore. But in Olathe, you're not allowed to use your phone in school anymore, which is great.
That's good.
It's awesome. It should be that way, right? So I guess they got to talk in the hallways at passing periods and things like that.
It's a lost art, passing the notes.
Man. Yeah. I used to collect them because it was like a miracle if I got one.
Okay, so you collected your two or three.
Yeah, in case
you
emergency
got over the
break.
You write it to
Get
yourself.
Your pen out. Hey, give this to Darcy. Exactly. She'll understand. Ew, what? No, Dusty and friends. Come on now.
Do you like me?
I
yes, no, maybe.
I sprayed my cologne inside the middle of it before I folded it up. Hey,
what is the deal, too, with middle school boys and the Axe body spray still? It does not smell good. Take a shower.
It's still
it's
a thing?
Playing the Masters at Augusta. Geez. It's tradition like no.
I mean, it's unbelievable. And then they talk about like they want cologne. You're in 7th and 8th grade. Like, what are you coloning up for, man?
Curve men. That's what I use. Green bottle, orange tab. Smelt delicious.
I'm not a cologne guy. I'm not really a huge perfume guy either. I don't know if you guys are or whatnot, but some people spend thousands of dollars on this stuff.
I don't know, man. If I smelled Love Spell from Victoria's Secret back in the day, I was...
You were hooked?
It was definitely what it advertised, Love Spell.
I like an old lady that smells of Jean Nate and Virginia Slims. Let's go.
Is Robert here? He's over by the jukebox, Carol. What's new? Thanks, I'll take a Sam Adams, Dave.
Yes.
Robert, get over here.
Hey, where are you at? You got a will? I'm interested.
Right. Speaking of interesting and entertaining and records, I feel like this game is going to set the record for NFL TV ratings.
Mm-hmm.
Outside
of Super Bowls.
Right, yeah. The Super Bowl doesn't count, obviously, because that's just an anomaly in itself. But, like, this will be, and deservingly so, when the ratings come out on Monday afternoon or whenever they come out, this will be, because last year there was 50.2 million viewers for Buffalo-Kansas City divisional round. This year, they brought up that there was 42-point-something for Baltimore and Buffalo, which was the big game of the weekend, right? Not trying to be funny, but like it was the big game, okay. 42. 50 last year in a divisional round game with these two teams. Now you up the stakes where it's going for a three-peat. Can he beat Mahomes? Can they continue to be dominant? Everybody wants to see what ref's going to make the wrong call at the right time. Or strike that, reverse that,
I think you got that right. Yeah. Wrong call at the right time. Yeah.
Right. And I mean, I think they're going to smash 50. I think we're looking at, you know, a game where it's going to be like the Buffalo Bills and Kansas City Chiefs set the single season record of most viewed TVs for a single game in NFL's history.
There's a couple of ways to approach this one when it comes to the TV ratings for me, because number one, other than the Chiefs games this year in the playoffs, the NFL playoffs have been down from a TV rating standpoint. People are trying to figure out why. Well, there's not a lot of Detroit fans. There's not a lot of Commander fans out there. There's not a lot of Ram fans out there.
And the games haven't been great.
And the games really have not been that outstanding, you know, from a playoff standpoint of what you think. I think these games this weekend, I think we'll see really good games on both sides. It usually is the best weekend, you know, of games, obviously. So we're going to see good games this weekend. But, you know, Washington, you know,
I hope we see a blowout by the Chiefs, to be honest with you.
I do, too. That's a good game, though. I consider that a good game.
Yeah.
I think when you look at the Washington commodes, they've had three name changes, ownership changes. Like, they lost an entire generation of fans. Remember when the Royals got back to the postseason in 2014? It was the first time in 30 years. That's essentially what's happened in Washington. And during those 30 years, people became fans of other teams. They don't really have a fan base. There was no reason to root for the commodes for all of these years. Now there is, and so you're rebuilding that fan base. So it's not like they have a great fan base, you know, at this point in time. So every TV game in the postseason has been down, with the exception of the games that the Chiefs have played in. What does that tell you? I don't know.
And then there's that random Thanksgiving Day game, but again,
random
thing. That the Super Bowl sort of analogy where it's like it's
everybody's
an anomaly.
There watching the game and that
doesn't
kind
matter
of stuff.
Who's on. Your uncle's on the couch watching, sleeping, eating, doing something.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, people are going to pay attention to that stuff.
But Chiefs and Dallas are playing Thanksgiving next year, by the way.
But maybe not. Who knows? They don't.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Need those two teams to play, the Chiefs to play on Thanksgiving to get you a number. They had the Giants in Dallas this year and it drew 38 million, and up until the playoffs, it was the most watched NFL game of the year, right? So you're going to get a good number, obviously, for this. When the Chiefs are involved, it's going to be an even bigger number, you know, than people expect, because people watch the Chiefs, right? Like, that's why this machine keeps going, because people tune in. It's not because of Taylor Swift or Caitlin Clark or anybody sitting in the press box.
Part of it.
It's because of what's going on the field, though, too. You know, yes, there is an answer. ancillary trickle-down effect because of that. But I can't imagine you're getting 20 million more people watching a Chiefs game because you may get a glimpse of Taylor Swift for 10 seconds.
Chiefs,
you know,
are the majority of the pie. Then there's the little wedges that'll be like 20% is here, 10%, 5%, whatever.
Right. And so I think we'll see a big number. But you mentioned that 42 number that Buffalo, like, that's a nice number. The NCAA championship game the other night only drew 22 million. So the Buffalo-Baltimore game had double the audience that football championship game did on Monday night. And those numbers were down like 12% from a year prior. And they had Notre Dame and Ohio State, two big brand names involved, you know, in that championship game. It just shows you the power of the NFL. Like, you put these games on TV, even though they're not the numbers that were last year or anything like that, they're still blowing everything out of the water, and it's not even close.
And I know these games are a little skewed as well because they're standalones, right? And you're going to have everybody that's and the way that it just so happens, the way the dominoes will fall, the way the planets are aligning, that this year the AFC Championship game is in the late slot. So,
right.
Like, yes, the numbers would still be astronomically high if they played at 2:30, but now you're getting everybody the appetizer of the rookie versus the Eagles.
Right.
And everyone's like, okay, that game was great. Like, you see what Daniels did? Like, he beat Philadelphia in Philadelphia as a rookie quarterback going to the Super Bowl. And it's like, oh, and now we get Mahomes versus Allen? Sign me up.
Yeah.
And, I mean, then you already obviously have everybody in Kansas City in this market and everybody in upstate New York and Buffalo's market watching that game. And then the majority of the country is watching to see the Chiefs lose.
And then as the game, you know, continues to progress and it becomes a good game, more and more people tune in. They don't tune out and everybody's watching. And you're in that late window on Sunday where people are settling down, getting ready for Monday. They've got the game on, so they're paying attention, waiting for 60 minutes and all that nonsense. Like, here's the thing. People are going to watch this game because this is the game people do want to see. If you polled every NFL fan, take your team out of the equation, right? Who do you want to see play in the championship round? Everybody would say Buffalo and Kansas City because it's the best matchup. There's not a better matchup out there than what we're going to see on Sunday.
No, and it's going to be electric, and I can't wait. I'm getting more and more excited throughout the week. Somebody says on the text line for the 913, it's our first night on a cruise out of Miami. Everyone is making sure the game will be played on all the bars or in all the bars.
What are you calling the boat?
Yep.
I mean, I'm sure you probably are because I know I would probably be looking to see if you're going to have the game on if I was going on a cruise, but you live in Kansas City now. You can't be planning cruises during the playoffs.
I love this. This guy gets to take the rest of the day off from the 785. Let me tell you something about Axe body spray, Bob.
Okay.
Coming up on the other side, defense wins championships. Of course it does. 96.5 The Fan, you're home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
I just want to say how awesome it is to have Bob Fesco and Legend Likens on every morning to start my day. I freaking love you guys.
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5, The Fan.